This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bart, Scott, you know, we always go into this hour, the third hour of the show, and we usually try to really pump it up and get excited. But today, with the news today and the topics and the callers that I have a feeling, Tessa set a tone. She set a standard for the rest of the Giants fans who are going to call us now today about this move of Jason Garrett being out as offensive coordinator. I think she raised the bar. That's the level I need every Giants fan at, if you heard Tessa. So, Bart, with that in mind, we are right now in the third hour, and that means it's the
Power Hour. The Power Hour?
Why won't it play?
The Power Hour?
Wait. Say it again.
The Power Hour.
There it is. The virtual gong just doesn't have the same appeal as the one in studio. But I think you all get what we're talking about here. And before we get to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we also want to play for you a message Joe Judge has for you Giants fans. We do want to tell you that there is some business tonight. First and foremost, you have no LeBron James for the Lakers on a nationally televised game at Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Lakers. You might also not have Anthony Davis. I saw a report where he is dealing with a non-COVID-related illness.
It's called boredom.
And therefore, they're not certain if he's going to be available for this game. So you have that going on. You also have it's Tuesday, so you're going to get another version of the college football playoff rankings. And with everything that happened, including the while everybody predicted Oregon was going to have a hard time with Utah, and they did, and they lost. That's two L's for them. You could see, which I've been hoping for this, because you know the Power Fives are all like, oh, God, please don't let this happen. Well, it might happen, sweetheart. Cincinnati in the top four. If they are not in the top four tonight, this whole thing should be blown up. Just forget. Like, we shouldn't even bother having it. It would be a scam.
Yeah, we don't want to hear anything else. Yeah, we don't want to hear anything else. It's no more excuses.
Yeah, so we shall see what happens tonight when it comes to the college football rankings. And college football's play of the month brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up. The fans are hyped, especially in Cincinnati. Return to glory with Fansville.
Cincinnati, baby.
By Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, do we want to go calls or do we want to go to Joe Judge's message to the fans? Because maybe it'll actually really fire him up.
Yeah, let's go to Joe Judge and then see how the fans and the listeners have a response to what Joe Jeezy had to say yesterday after they got slacked. Listen, because that 10 points was not really 10 points. They got an interception like on the 2-yard line.
Yeah, and Andrew Thomas caught the touchdown. Like, it wasn't like a great play.
That's creativity. You don't think that ain't creativity?
Right, Garrett's like, hey, come on, we used everybody. Well, all right, so if you're just joining us again, Jason Garrett has been fired as offensive coordinator of the Giants. Joe Judge called him out last night after the game.
Harsh language. We're not allowed to say fired. He's been relieved of his duties. Remember, we're in a new time now. We can't hurt people's feelings.
I know. I'm sorry about that. All right. Good call by you. But anyways, he's no longer the offensive coordinator of the Giants. Joe Judge last night kind of made it clear that he was done with him. Bad body language, said I wouldn't blame the players for being frustrated, would not say last night that he was sticking with the offensive coordinator, and today they make that decision and go forward. So with all of that in mind, I want you first, before we get to your calls, to listen to Joe Judge last night. It's kind of long. Stick with it. His message to you, the fan.
Look, it's not your job to be patient. It's not the fans' job to be patient. It's our job to go out there, all right, and give them something to cheer about. So let's just be clear about that right now. Fans buy tickets. Whatever they want to say in the stands, they've bought that right to do that. Fans support us. Fans watch us at home, okay? They root for us. They pull for us. We appreciate that. It's our job to give them something to be proud of. It's not their job to, you know, have blind faith in us. We've got to go out there, and we have to work and put ourselves in a position that – the fan base has something to cheer for, okay? So, look, I take this very personally, all right? I'm a man of my word. When I look in the camera and I tell people of New York, New Jersey, you know, the fan base area, when I tell them we're going to give you something to be proud of, I'm not asking you to be patient. That's not your job. I'm telling you we're going to put something on the field you can be proud of, okay? That's on my name, okay? You understand that? That's on my name, all right? I'm the leader of this team. I'm in charge of this team. That's on me. I don't point fingers. I don't make excuses. All right, we're going to get this right. I'm not asking them to, you know, be patient through it. I'm just telling you point blank. I just told the players. I told the players, you just show up on Wednesday, ready to go.
I love everything he said there, Bart. Everything. That is right off the script of exactly what to say, how to say it, and the message delivered after a game like that. Bravo, Joe Judge, because you are on point. That's Baker Mayfield. Pay attention. That's how you do it. Just like that. Everything he said there, 100% on point.
100% point, but he said, listen, I'm not going to point fingers, but he directly pointed fingers at Jason Garrett.
He held him accountable, Bart. Well, he's not pointing a finger. He's held him accountable. We're supposed to give you something to be proud of, and okay, my offensive coordinator was getting his own players frustrated. We had to do something.
I'll tell you what, keep that same energy when we point the finger at you in 2-3 weeks when the offense don't change, because that means that's a you problem. Oh, let me guess. He'll point the finger at Dave Gettleman and say he didn't get the players that he needed to be successful.
Come on, Bart. Bart, you're going to tell me that everything you just heard there doesn't at least make you nod and say, yeah, he gets it. He's right. Everything he said was right. You're going to tell me that you're not going to accept what he said as truth?
I don't buy the Joey Toughnuts or whatever they call him, nickname, man, or whatever.
Timmy Toughnuts.
Yeah, Timmy Toughnuts. I don't get all that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, he fired
So you don't
everybody.
Care what he just said here? You don't care what he just said about how we owe it to fans, fans have a right to boo. They don't have to be patient.
It's not about if I buy it. Do the people in that locker room buy it? Because if he's running the ship – he could have already lost them already, and it ain't got nothing to do with Jason Garrett. Because last I checked,
well, maybe him firing the
last I checked, that defense was horrible too.
Maybe
last
him,
I checked.
Maybe like, him moving on from the offensive coordinator was his okay. way of making sure he doesn't lose the locker room, because he hears and sees the frustration from players, and I've got to make sure. All right, these guys are definitely frustrated with this guy. We got to make a change, and we got to do it now. We can't wait for the end of the season. We can't wait for it to get better. It's not getting better. We've got to get these. We got to make it better for my players.
Man, this was about the team, man. This was about him. This comes right out of the I don't want to get fired, I confess he did it playbook. that's exactly where it comes from.
I don't get it. I don't know why you're surprising me right now.
Because I've been through this before. I've seen coaches get fired during the middle of the season, right? Like, it's up to him. He's walking a very fine line. When you come in with that type of bravado and ain't never proved nothing in this league before, you run a very fine line of burning guys out mentally, where they're like, man, I'm tired of hearing this dude cliche, his little quotes. I'm tired of him come like he's like the drill sergeant. We'll get it fixed, blah, blah, blah. It's on my block. But then he pointed at the guy. Let's see. Let's see if he can coach his way out of this, because he's not managing his way out of this. Let's see if he can coach his way out of this. You better coach something. Because, listen, he's not. I don't even know what he coach. What he coach?
He coaches a team.
No, what's his
expertise? He oversees the team. He oversees everything.
What I'm saying is,
my coordinators are the experts. That's their specific expertise.
What room is he going to go in and create a connection with those players? Because at this point, it has to be something where they plan for him and playing. Because, listen, if they don't like him, they'll keep playing the way they plan. Because they know if they play, they will keep playing the way they plan, he's going to get fired.
Bart, let me ask you this. If you were playing for a defensive coordinator that you just were like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. I can't play for this guy. I don't trust him. I don't like what he's doing. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. We're losing. We look bad. And this guy's decisions are why we look bad. And your head coach gets rid of him because he hears the complaints of the players. You're not going to feel better about that. You're not going to be like, all right, my head coach is listening to me. He cares about us. He's not going to stick with this guy because he doesn't want to look wrong.
Like, well, so if they came and they said the same thing about Patrick Graham, you think he would pull the trigger? No, because he picked them. So looks like he picked the easiest guy to get out of there to appease the people, but also to buy himself some more time.
I don't know. I loved everything he said in that cut we just played.
Of course,
man. I do.
Like everything you said, but what I'm trying to tell you is that comes right out of the playbook, man. That's right out of the playbook. Try to self-preservation.
All right, well, he spoke to the fans. Let's hear from them now. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. And let's first go to James in Bridgewater on this. Go ahead, James.
Hey, fellas. God, I feel like I could be on Dancing with the Stars hearing that news about Jason Garrett getting fired, man. I've been clapping like he does on the sidelines. I'm so excited that they finally got rid of him because the offense has been abysmal. There's tons of talent there, and you're not utilizing anybody. So I think that's a great move. I love everything Joe Judge said, because you're right. We shouldn't have to be patient. We shouldn't have to understand. We should be pissed off. And I am pissed off. I heard a stat today. The Giants have lost the last 10 primetime games. So let me tell you guys. So as a fan, I sit around all day waiting for Thursday night or Sunday night or Monday night. And I get excited to see my team on national television just for them to let me down the last 10 games. That's at least two or three a season. So that's 3-4 years in prime time that my squad shows the world that we're nothing, to talk about, that Eli Manning led us to two Super Bowls, and that's it. We beat Tom Brady twice, and that's it. It doesn't matter they're one of the most historic teams. Doesn't matter anything. It's what have you done for me lately?
Of
and
course.
That's tough playing New York, and I understand that
okay.
This is at least a first step in the right direction.
Okay.
Let me tell you, Bart, you said something real quick. He hired Jason Garrett, too. Just because he picked Patrick Graham, he picked Jason Garrett, too.
No,
allowed anybody.
That was kind of
they bring people
him.
In with no, ties
that was,
to the
that
organization.
Was forced on him. That was forced on him because they wanted somebody with head coaching experience to be there with them, which is typical when you get a brand-new coach that's never coached before, a guy who's never been a coordinator before. You have to put somebody with history there. That's why Freddie Kitchens is on that staff as well, too.
Thanks, Jay.
Because he's trying to surprise him, surround him. But what I'm trying to figure out is where's the fans' outrage is Joe Judge. You can blame it on everybody else, but at the end of the day, where's the outrage at him?
Well, we'll
find
out.
Hasn't done a good job.
The crosshairs are on him now because obviously of a move like this, pretty aggressive move. But we shall see where it goes from here. DJ's in Westchester on who could likely replace him right now, at least interim as the offensive coordinator. Go ahead, DJ.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Long time listener, first time caller. You know, I just wanted to say on a couple of notes. First of all, to start with, Freddie Kitchens. He was a remarkable play caller out in Cleveland. That's why they gave him the head coach job in the first place. And one thing about that, I don't feel like every coordinator can handle all of the responsibilities as a head coach, which is why you see so many of these, whether it's offensively or defensive, you know, hotshot play callers or coordinators, you know, really they fall by the wayside very quickly as head coaches. It's a lot more responsibility and detail involved with that job. And, you know, I'm going off the subject.
But Freddie was Baker's choice. That was Baker's choice. That's why he got the head coaching job. Baker wanted it.
Right, but he did a great job with Baker and that offense and, you know, led them to some victories, turned it around offensively. Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly where he shines as a great offensive coordinator and something that he could do. Maybe he can turn this thing around, get some better play calling, and definitely more creativity, which is what these young horses need on the offense. And I just wanted to say real quick, and I'll listen to you when I get off, but as far as Joe Judge goes, you know, this is year two, and he's shown that he cannot, manage. He has a great deal, you know, it's a great burden for him to manage a football game is what I'm trying to say. Yep. In his second year, we're still seeing a lot of the missteps that he's taking with managing timeouts, things like that, game flow. And, you know, in year two, there should be a little more heat on him for things of that nature. But I think Freddie Kitchens could help out, you know, drumming up some more creative offensive plays. Thanks, guys. I'll listen to you off the air.
You got it, DJ. Yeah, I mean, I think now, again, the target's been on Joe, but the first target was on Garrett. He's gone now. Kenny's in New Jersey on this. Go ahead, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Look, Solo, I was kind of hoping that the Giants would hold on to Jason Garrett for a little while longer. That way I know they wouldn't win many games. And Bart, I want you to put on your GM hat. I want you to be the Giants GM for 1 second because okay. I keep hearing everybody say that Saquon has lost it and Saquon is not this and Saquon is not that. So if you're the Giants GM and say I'm Dallas GM and I want to give you Pollard, for GM, would you take him? Would you take Pollard for Saquon right now?
Why would Dallas do that, right? Yeah. And listen, the trade deadline is over with, and you're going to pick up Saquon's option because this is Gettleman also doubling down, you know, instead of letting him play it out. They're going to pick up his option, so he's going to make like $15 million next year, no matter whether you want it or not. Now, you don't have to give him a long-term deal, but you have to start asking yourself, has Gettleman earned a pink slip? So should Gettleman be gone, right? Because look at all the – because you have to ask yourself, we have two potentially very high picks. Do we want Dave Gettleman picking them based on what he's picked with the high picks that he's had in the top 10? Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Andrews, all players that, you know, Saquon was good, has potential to be good, but hasn't been able to put the productivity in that he's that you would hope for, right? And yeah, you think of Daniel Jones. He told us. You just think, you guys could have had Lamar Jackson, or you guys could have had Josh Allen. You decided not to have him. So that's a you problem, because now you have questions about Danny Dimes. We don't have questions about Josh Allen.
You could have had Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, there's all these pieces you could have had instead of. So yeah, you have to ask, do you want this guy making those choices? So if you're saying, hey, the answer is no, that means that you're getting rid of Gettleman. So why are you going to have an arranged marriage with somebody coming in who didn't pick didn't pick Joe Judge as the head coach and forced Joe Judge on?
You know what? It's if you're starting over, you can't keep everyone, but you definitely don't want – I mean, if you're – I go with ownership. If I'm owning this team, if I am in ownership, I can't possibly want two potentially top seven picks in our pocket, and I'm letting this guy make them again.
But he got a new computer, man. He got a computer this time.
He did? Did he go –
So now he's going to go with the analytical.
Does he have AOL yet?
He got – no. Well, he got that, and he got an 8-ball. You got a magic 8-ball.
Let's go to Anthony in Queens. Hey, Anthony.
You know something, Alan? And Bart, I couldn't agree with you more. What you're basically trying to say is that Joe Judge thing came off super fake, which it did, as a humongous Giants fan.
Yeah.
That couldn't sound more fraudulent.
He's going through the coaching script 202. Save my job in case emergency break glass. Let me kiss the fans' ass and sound like Joey Tuffnuts like he did when he came
100%.
Here. 100%. I want teachers. 100%. I want teachers.
This is the problem. The Giants have drafted terribly. Dave Gettleman has drafted. Let me tell you something. Saquon Barkley, he seems like a really nice kid. He's built like a horse. He has the look. He's been a bust. That's the bottom line. It needs to be said now. He has been a bust between injuries. He hasn't produced. He's supposed to be our Christian McCaffrey.
Yep. Yeah.
He's supposed to be that for us. He hasn't even been close. It's been a complete bust with him. Daniel Jones is now on the verge of also being a bust. It's just the truth. And Giants fans need to come clean about this. We're starting, and Alan, I blame you for this also, because you're on the New York radio, and you have this Nick mentality that you're now pushing on to the Giants. We're better than what we really are. We stink. It needs to be brought down from the top to the bottom. Joe Judge needs to be fired.
Wait. Hang on a second, Anthony. What do you mean pushing some mentality? What mentality am I pushing?
You just said it.
You're a flagship franchise.
Wait.
What am I wrong? Am I wrong to say that this is a flagship franchise? It is a brand name in the
NFL. It's not a flagship franchise anymore.
Anthony, do me a favor. Look up what that means. It is a brand name for the NFL, whether you like it or not, whether they suck or they're not. All right? They are a brand name. The Chicago Bears are bad. That's a brand name in the NFL. They are a flagship franchise in the NFL. That's just reality. The problem is they don't live up to it. And I've said that about the Knicks, too. And that's why Leon Rose had to come in here. That's why they had to do what they did to try to get this team at least competitive. Let's start there. And that's my point.
When
you
are,
hang on a second. You're going to come at me. I got to defend myself. You are a brand name, and you are in a major market. You cannot go through year after year after year of a rebuild and try to sell that to your fans and the league. And also to the TV rights holders, and say, no, we're going to rebuild. We're going to lose, but we're going to lose games, and we're going to build through the draft. You can't do that in certain markets. In this one, not like that. Not for year after year after year. When you've had as many first-round picks in the top 10 as the Giants have had in the last 4 years, by now, you should have a winner. They don't. That's why you have to clean house and start over. And as Judge, I thought what Joe Judge said was right. You can't tell fans they have to be patient. You can't do that. What you say is, we have a plan, we're going to execute it, and in short term, we'll be competitive again, and then we'll build to a Super Bowl. They have not done that. They have failed, and because of it, it is time to try a new face, a new voice, and a new vision. That's what I'm saying. Not that they're just going to be good because they're called the Giants. No. You have to live up to that brand name. And if I'm the NFL, I'm looking at this franchise, I'm looking at Mara, and I'm looking at Tisch, and I'm saying, what are we doing, guys? Because you're damaging a very important brand for this league. We'll get you more of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hey, college basketball is back. Tune in today for a semifinal round coverage of the Maui, Jim Maui Invitational, beginning at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I got fired up there, Bart.
I know. Who saw that? I saw the steam coming up off your chest, man.
Listen, man. I mean, you know, you got to understand, when I'm making a point, you got to understand the point I'm making. So I had to explain it.
Nobody told maybe you I did, maybe fancy, I didn't. All these fancy Kyle's words you be using, man.
Well, I mean, you know, I try. But I mean, I appreciate Anthony. I love his love the passion. That's what we want from people. But when I'm telling you about a franchise, what I'm trying to explain to you is that it is different. And you have to handle it different in certain markets. People want to say, oh, it's so arrogant of New York to think they should always be great. Hey, it is New York. The demand is higher. And the idea of rebuilding is not something that should take years. It should be something you do smart, and it's noticeable when you see it. You're like, yeah, I see what they're doing. I see what they're doing. It makes sense. You've got all the money in the world here. You have enough to attract the best. You should get the best. You should have the best running your franchise because there's no salary cap on front office and head coaches. None. Get the best.
The problem with the Giants is they always hire from within. They don't trust anybody outside to give them a different perspective, a different bird's eye view.
Yeah.
Gettleman came
or let somebody take Jerry over Reeves. And step yeah. the hell out of the way.
Yes.
You don't need to be in the war room during draft night. You don't need to be involved in those decisions.
They were doing what they were doing. They were micromanaging. Yes. Much like Dolan did, and he had to get out of the room and let the adults and
which
people
he admitted.
That are experts get
which
in there and make the decisions. You got to live with them, and they're not going to make every right decision, but you got to say, listen, they got a plan. I'm going to let them do their job.
Right.
You can't
right.
do
well,
that.
We got to run.
That's what Mara does.
You are absolutely right, and we'll see where it goes from here. We have, though, a story coming up about a New York dynasty that almost was but never got off the ground, and a scab was picked last night during Monday Night Football's Manning cast that we have to discuss along with, of course, calls from you as well. But first, I want to tell you to join host Gautam Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports. A companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries, this 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+.
We've hired 4 computer folks, software.
Wake up and get up with Key, Jay, and Max.
Their offense really isn't that explosive. What they do is they trick you. They got some of that old New England Patriot trick them in them. Make you think that they're doing a whole lot of stuff and they really not.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Followed by Green.
More information on that as we get it.
Weekday mornings on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Breaking news here. Jason Garrett has been relieved of his duties. Tessa in New Jersey.
No, I can't stand that bum, Jason Garrett. I know I'm very happy about that. However, we have too many decent, good weapons to be this terrible. We are bum, dirty trash, hot garbage. I'm sick of it. Fire Dave Gettleman. He don't deserve respect like that. I don't care if he's old. Fire him.
The energy that is Tessa from New Jersey, we love her as a caller, and we love the passion we are getting from Giants fans and the reaction to the breaking news today that they have moved on from Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator for a team that was hoping to take another step this year with a lot of weapons on offense, but a lot of those weapons have been injured, and as a result, they are 23rd in the league in yards so far through the season and 25th in scoring So the offense has not been good. Oh, by the way, last year with Garrett, they were 31st in both those categories. So going nowhere fast. It's Barton Howe. We are brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. We'll get back to your calls on this at 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But Bart, there was something that we heard last night in the Manning cast version of Monday Night Football. As Peyton and Eli had Bill Parcells, since the Giants were playing, they had him on as a guest. And I don't know if you heard the conversation, but I was wondering if they'd go here. And it didn't take long. Eli got right to it when he decided to ask Parcells if he intended on drafting Peyton with the first pick, with a chance to have the first pick, right? No, with the first pick in the 97 draft. And I remember they just had Keyshawn Johnson with the number one pick. Yep. They were a terrible team the year before. With Rich Kotite, Parcells comes in to take over. And Parcells said, we definitely would have drafted him. Which, when I heard it, every story I heard, and I mean not just stories reported, but people that have talked to over the years, said that Parcells wanted to trade the pick. They had Neil O'Donnell, and Manning, I think, was looking for a guarantee
that he would start or play.
That he would play right away. And Parcells refused to give any guarantees to anybody on anything. And Peyton said, all right, I'll go back to school.
And he
went back to Tennessee.
And what Parcells had realized in the grand scheme of things, that the kid that he said that, you know, I don't talk to kids, or he didn't guarantee certain things to kids, is going to be remembered in this league as a greater person, a contributor to this league than he is.
Let that
marinate.
It's a pretty strong statement. But I'll tell you what, though. The fact that, though, that they would talk about it is interesting, because they almost know the truth about that. And if the truth was that Parcells wouldn't guarantee it, so Peyton said, fine, I'll go back to school. Because, I don't know what if you're going to trade that pick, I want to have a control of where I'm going to go. But let's just – and it turned into James Ferrier, by the way. They did trade the pick to the Rams. They got the sixth pick in three mid-rounds, and they ended up getting James Ferrier.
Three mid-rounds?
Yeah.
For Peyton Manning, they got James Ferrier in three
mid-rounds. Well, no, it wasn't for Peyton. No, Peyton went back to school.
So but what I'm saying is that's what they gave up. They could have got Peyton Manning, and they got James Ferrier in three mid-round picks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Jets. Wow. So anyways, now look, things went well for Parcells.
That's why Peyton hates the Jets. That's why he gave us Adam Gase. That's payback.
Well, the 98 season went very well for Parcells and the Jets. They one game shy of the Super Bowl. But if you look at it forward, though, this is what – I love playing that alternate universe thing.
Yeah.
Let's say Parcells says, yeah, no, we're taking you. I see all the talent in the world in you. And I know you're a rookie, but we're going to live through your mistakes. Now, can you imagine? Parcells actually joked that he would have never seen the 25 interceptions that he threw because he would have slit his throat at 15. So he never would have seen that. I remember with the Colts, he threw,
yes,
he had that record for interceptions for a rookie in his rookie season. And he said, I would have never seen it. So bottom line is this, though. Let's just say Parcells takes him. Now you got Peyton Manning, you got Keyshawn Johnson. And now let's go forward. Parcells has some health issues, steps down as head coach. Bill Belichick takes over.
Yeah, he's not going to leave.
Bill Belichick, is he going to write on a napkin, I resign as HC of the NYJ?
Meh.
Or is he staying right where he is because he sees what he's got there?
Yeah, he's staying right there.
All right, so now you have Peyton Manning and you have Bill Belichick.
See, I hate when you do this.
Like Tom Brady never happens, right?
Yep.
The Patriots never happen. Did the Jets become the Patriots? The Colts never happened. Think about this. Did the Jets become what the Patriots became because of that one decision? Does that one decision change everything? One simple decision changing the fate of not just one franchise, but multiple franchises. And who knows, Bart, maybe Rex Ryan never becomes coach of the Jets. Maybe you never become a Jet.
Yeah, I stayed with the Ravens.
Think about this.
Meh.
And this is what I do to myself. I make myself crazy. I texted at the Keyshawn last night, and he said to me, calm down. apparently
like,
he wasn't buying it.
He's like, I still got my
Yeah,
Key's
like, yeah, I got my ring, so I'm all set. But still, it's hard not to, as a fan, make yourself crazy thinking about the reality of things like that and what could happen if only Parcells just said, yeah, yeah, we're taking you. Yeah, you're going to play. I'm not trading the pick. You are that good.
Maybe he would have traded, you say he had Neil O'Donnell at the time, he would have traded Neil O'Donnell.
I mean, he was shredding teams in the SEC, shredding them. And he went back for another year. Like, if you were in the SEC that year, weren't you like, man, thank God this guy's leaving?
He's like, nope.
And then you get to the end of the season, like, what do you mean he's coming back?
He's the first camp. I'm back.
Damn. Right. Like, no. So, yeah, there is certainly that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Brooklyn. Let's talk to Mo. What's up, Mo?
Hey, guys.
What's good, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's happening?
I'm a big fan of the show. I just wanted to ask you one thing about the Jets. GM Joe Douglas, I know he gets like a fresh start because Adam Gase is a terrible coach. And Zach Wilson drafts a new rookie quarterback. But if you look at the other positions, like he takes the corner position when he comes in and now, they're not better. Offensive
Bryce
line
Hall
hasn't really gotten better either.
Nah, the corner.
Bryce Hall is really good.
Yeah, they
I love me some Bryce Hall.
Bryce Hall
he
good,
got
but,
a he got him in his second quarter, second round. I like
and
Bryce
this,
Hall a lot.
I'll tell you what, too, though. Yeah. This draft for Joe Douglas has been actually pretty good. Like, you got Vera Tucker is really good. Michael Carter as a running back is fantastic. And now you saw what Elijah Moore can be. I mean, that's three guys right there where you feel like is part of your future. So I don't know if I have great criticism of Joe Douglas here. Now, you want to talk about last year, draft.
I still believe in Becton.
Becton's got to get healthy.
I still believe in Mims. I think Becton's going to be a right tackle and be like Tristan Wirfs, be a dominant right tackle.
Okay.
Because Fant hasn't given up a sack. I think he gave up his first one in 330-something snaps or something. He was the only left tackle not to give up a sack this year.
All right, so there's something there, but still. I mean, I get it. People are frustrated. Look, both New York teams, we haven't seen not a single float has gone by Macy's yet, and both football teams, the season's over. Just think about that. That's why people are frustrated, and that's why you have every right to be frustrated. But what we have tonight, Bart, is we do have basketball. We do have the Knicks at the Garden against the Lakers. What you don't have is LeBron. But there is someone playing in the game tonight, and you never know. It might be his final appearance there. And it could be a special one for him personally and also for Knick fans who should remember him fondly. We'll discuss that coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Hey, if you missed any portion of the show, we had Perk on earlier. We had Jeff Saturday on, and we got everybody talking because we got Thanksgiving just coming up now in another day or two, right? It's about, I guess you'd say, a day and a half, right? And we got into some food discussions with both. It got heated. So if you missed any of that or any portion of the show, you can always find all 3 hours of Barton Hahn Posted Daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. Bub, appreciate you for the Nirvana.
Oh, boy, stop it.
Put me in the right mood. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Perk did not agree with some things we discussed. Jeff Saturday was on my side. We had team pumpkin pie, as Bart is team anti-pumpkin pie and all that stuff. But tonight we have at the Garden, Lakers-Knicks, but you don't have LeBron. He was suspended by the league. It was probably the right move, the one game he gets it, so he will not play. But you will have, Bart, in this game, Carmelo Anthony with the Lakers. He actually thought about signing with the Knicks, a little return home. Tibbs loves him. And obviously Leon Rose was his agent. But he chose the Lakers for obvious reasons. One, he lives in L.A. Two, play with LeBron. He's never had that chance before. Three, probably a better chance to win a championship.
Have you seen Golden State?
Well, I mean, they thought at the time it was. But I'll tell you what, though, man. Listen, give Melo his props. He's now a guy that's off the bench.
Yeah.
And he is a weapon as a scorer off the bench. Dude shooting 46% from three, averaging 15 a game at the age of 37.
Yeah, I mean,
he should get a great ovation tonight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just like Derrick Rose gets every time he goes back to Chicago, Melo every time should get it in New York. And I wonder, could this be the last time he plays at Madison Square Garden? Nobody said he's going to come back next year. It's a year-to-year thing with now at this point in his career.
Yeah, it is. I mean, what a job well done. And you talk about the cherry on top. You know, if he gets a championship,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. It's kind of like, didn't Gary Payton get a championship with the Heat or something like that late in his career?
Right.
He was just on the team. Like, it's like one of those, right? I mean, you could, I almost
yeah, but he's contributing, though. If they win, he's going to be a big part of it. So.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So we'll see. So that game's tonight. Again, TNT. No MSG tonight for those in New York, in case. It's a nationally televised game. Let's finish with some calls. It's the big news today, of course, the Giants moving on from offensive coordinator Jason Garrett, the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and the Giants make that decision now in the middle of the season. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Sam in New York. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, I just want to point out one thing that I'm happy they fired Jason Garrett, but one of the problems that they had over the years, especially with the offense, is that Michael Strahan pointed this out a few weeks ago by the Chiefs-Giants Monday Night Football game on the Manning cast, that for some reason the Giants, every time on third down, not every time, most times on third downs, they just throw in front of the first down marker. It makes no sense. If they want to
right.
get the first down,
right.
you should go after the first down marker. And like Bart was saying, he was talking about Joe Judge, that why is no one taking blame on Joe Judge? I mean, he wasn't the one making the play calls. I'm upset at him as a Giants fan. I missed school last night to watch the game, and it was deeply disappointing.
Oh, God.
But he's like, I don't know. He can't do it. He's just doing these stupid stuff, and he's blaming it on everybody else. He took some of the blame last night, whatever. But I agree with Bart. Jason Garrett was just like a blindside thing so that he's not going to get most of the blame.
Well, he's going to
but
now.
Yeah,
thanks. Yeah, no, thank you, Sam. Sorry you missed school. But, yeah, he's now going to be in the crosshairs because you make this move. Now the target everybody was going after, Garrett, is gone. Joe is in New Jersey. Joe? Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
We
Joe
got
from
you.
Jersey?
Yeah, Joe from Jersey. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, first time, long time. Love the show. You guys got great chemistry. Bart, I'm finally – you got a good partner. I think you guys got a great show, but –
thank
I think Bart is 100% correct about Joe Judge. Accountability, where was his accountability after they lost the first six games of the season? He needs to go. Gettleman needs to go. Daniel Jones, when are they going to accept that Daniel Jones is overwhelmed? The game is
wow.
too fast for him. He's done. Leads, look at the turnovers. Look at this. He made a broken record on Monday Night Football for an ineptitude.
Right.
With his stats.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, you can hear the frustration,
the interception to McClendon was tough.
You can hear the frustration from Giants fans. There's no doubt about that. And we will see if it makes a difference. Hey, Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.